Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the Cafe Book Club. We are in the book, The Resilience Factor, and I'm going to go ahead and bring on my lovely co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight, Amy?
Off with your head!
I'm pretty good.
I think that's a challenging belief we're going to have to take a look at.
something like that, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
Get others to do what you want without, you know, off with their heads. I don't know.
That's a belief, yeah. So tonight we're going to be talking about challenging our beliefs and putting them into perspective. So it's chapter 7 and 8 in the book. And, Karen and Andrew really do a good job of looking at breaking this stuff down and having it to where there's actually exercises and things like that. So in the challenging beliefs, there's actually 7 steps to be able to take a particular belief and being able to break it all down to be able to look at it and give yourself, I guess, a chapter 8, that a new perspective of being able to just bring it to a new level. And one thing I really liked about the book is they were talking about that when we're doing a belief, the reason why these things are so helpful is it helps if you have a sense of sadness, anger, or guilt, and even embarrassment with things and maybe don't really know why. These are an exercise that can really help you to be able to just kind of break it down and unpack it to be able to look at all those things. And then when we get into looking at the putting the things into perspective, it actually can really help to be able to look at anxieties that we deal with. So both really, really good things with that. So anything with that, Amy, if we get started with Chapter 7?
Well, just one thing that I think was an interesting point. They talked about that why do failures and unexpected outcomes trigger why beliefs while success and unexpected outcomes do not? And they talk about it's probably because our survival rests on the ability to determine or prevent negative situations while we respond to positive events is not so crucial. So that makes a lot of sense. You know, like I said, I'm just, you know, people talk, you know, I'm not being negative, you know, I'm just really being wise, I'm being protective. But I think it's, and that's very culturally accepted. So I think it's easy to get caught up in that negativity because it helps keep me safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good insight of that. That's one thing about going through the just unpacking it and looking at a lot of the things that they're talking about. It really helps to kind of wrap your mind on it and go, oh, that makes sense. Because on that first page, one thing I want to bring up is, you know, it talks about how, you know, you can't teach a dog an old dog new tricks. So, you know, when people talk about being able to have a sense of change, and it's just like, I can't change. I think it's, Mythbusters proved that you can teach an old dog new tricks. I just want to make sure people knew that.
Maybe you need trees. So, old tricks to new dog? Is that what we have to do?
Say it again?
Old tricks to new dog?
An old trick for a new dog? Yeah, well, you know, really, that's really what we're talking about anyway, because, I mean, you know, everything is just marketing in a different way. There's pretty much nothing. That's not that much new stuff on the planet unless we're talking about technology. And even then, technology is kind of like reworked from other things that we've done in the past just a different way. So I think that's really true. Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked on page 146, it was the why we ask why. You know, our why beliefs. I think that was a really good section. You know, it talks about adversity, you know, first strikes and we have our first response. You know, it's being able to confront the problem and, you know, typically people ask why. And when you do that, it causes the problem itself because the why is just turned into this kind of cycle that we get into our belief systems that we always go to. They're kind of the go-to things. And, you know, it says the answers we give ourselves for our why beliefs are the beliefs that cause us to have the adversity that we face. So it's I think that's, you know, really, you know, like look at that and see what that really said. You know, the answers we give ourselves are wise about the causes of the adversity we face. Boy, that's kind of like, you go, let me think about that one. So, you know, we tend to ask ourselves, you know, the questions about, you know, just these different circumstances that we have going on. And really when I was thinking about that, Aim, I was thinking about how, you know, some of that why stuff to me was about expectations.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely.
We think about that. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
well, yeah,
and again,
when you expect something, then you act, take actions towards that. You know, and I was talking on the EMG radio show yesterday about the placebo effect, right? And if you expect you're taking a medication that's going to help your blood pressure get better, even though it's just a sugar pill, they have found that many times it does, you know, that's the placebo effect, that you get a benefit even when you should not, and it's all based on belief.
Yeah, and then, well, and I've heard Deepak Chopra talk about that, where, you know, we actually have all the components of, like, a chemistry set within our body, and depending on what we need and how we need it, our body can basically make it for us. We don't necessarily have to, you know, pick an external source for being able to help heal or shift our body in the way that we need to, which is
absolutely
pretty darn interesting, if you ask me. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of material here and a short time to do it, so we'll just do the best we can, knowing that this is really, you know, an ongoing practice. And I think you have to be careful. This is a great book and it has great tools and processes, but it can be a little heavy. So see, you and I were talking last week about them, especially in this chapter 7 and chapter 8, really specifically chapter 7, and that these steps tend to be very left brain, as in very logical. And if you're a right brain person, then it's going to be interesting to watch, because you tend to be very creative, and this is for people who really follow the boxes and check them. So it's going to be a fun exercise. So I talk about the 7 steps of challenging belief, and first, the first step is the ABC of adversity, and really looking at what that thing is that triggers you.
Yeah. So they were, you know, we'll go back to just kind of for a few chapters back. You know, A is about adversity, B is the belief, C is the consequences, and they break that into the two components of an emotional component and also a behavior component. And, you know, really looking at the ABCs, it's, you know, it's that, you know, listening to your mind and seeing, you know, what's coming up with your thoughts. They call it a ticker tape, but it's really just kind of noticing your thoughts and writing down your thoughts without, you know, doing any kind of critique about it. You just write what's going on and just lay it out there, be able to look at it, and just, you know, it's not trying to candy coat it as you put it down on paper, because it's really helping you to get in tune with what's happening and have you give it a sense of voice that it's really, I think, in some ways really wanting to get your attention, because lots of times we have stuff like that going on and we push it aside or we ignore it a lot. And I think it's really great to do that exercise and being able to write it down and look at it. So that's basically number one is being able to list that stuff for yourself.
Exactly. And I think that when they talk about the, you know, to notice things at the feather level, or, you know, the heavier notice level, or then all of a sudden the brick wall, you know, that you're slamming into. And so what I want to challenge you to do is to start having that awareness at those really low levels, instead of, you know, that you have to wait until, you know, your spouse asks for a divorce, or you get fired, or, you know, you have an accident of some kind. So in doing this work, I do think that as you become more aware and pay more attention, that you will notice it at lower levels. So when that trigger happens, that adversity, and then being able to, okay, what are those beliefs? And then what does it cost me in terms of my emotions and my behaviors? And if you listen to the, you know, last show we did, we talked about the toaster. Luckily, you know, I lost my mind over it, but Ross and I were able to walk through that and not break up over it. I never would have heard the end of it. You know, we ended the relationship because of a toaster.
Mm-hmm. That's bagel. You know, it could have been a waffle. It doesn't necessarily toast.
Maybe that'll be what it will really break us up. We'll be there. Yeah.
We all have our bread choice, so there you go.
So that's the first step is the being able to identify the adversity, the belief, and then those consequences emotionally and behaviorally. And then second is the pie chart causes, which I think is really kind of crazy, where you pie chart, you look at the beliefs and they rate them, like in the particular, I don't want to get too much into the story of it, but it's like A is the boss doesn't respect my private time, that's 75%, and then his wife expects too much of his time, 25%. And actually creating a pie chart. So would you do that, Robin? Would you pie chart?
I don't know. I was thinking I could make bubbles, or you could make a bar graph, or like other ways that you could be creative about it. But I think even just making a list. The pro con list. Like the pros and the cons. To me, that was another way of being able to look at it. But I think that by the time you get to the end of this chapter, I think it kind of does give it some validity, because what happens is it winds up breaking it into four quadrants that have to go where you're actually looking at yourself, because of the circumstances he had going on with that situation. He was definitely making everything external at the beginning, where it was his boss and his wife. And by the end of the second phase that they did with being able just to graph it or look at it, part of it's the turnaround. Byron Katie talks about that with the work that she does. And I think part of it's being able to go back to yourself and say, how is that me? What's really going on with me? Because he wound up realizing that he wasn't good with time management and he overcommitted to stuff and he couldn't say no. So, three out of the four wanted to be in stuff that he knew about himself that he wanted to improve or change. So I think that's something that, when just looking at the basics of that, how it can really be something where it's a way of really coming back to being reflective and being able to, if I can tap into those things, those beliefs that have been hindering my progress and not really pointing the finger more, inward, going more inward than pointing outward, it can really help me to grow as a person. And I can be a lot happier.
True.
So I think that's the way to do it.
Coming back to the pie chart, the reason
even want to go to that pie chart.
I know. Well, you want to go have, cherry pie, I know, but hold with me for a minute. We're going to,
I'm not with you.
Later.
Cherry pie. Okay, good.
Okay. All right. That would get your attention. Because why you're
How
doing that?
We can make it into layers of a sundae. There we go.
All right. Come back here.
What's
all right,
your
now.
Ice cream? What's your sauce? What's your cherry on top? There we go.
So and here we go. This and then color code. This would show I'm being very red and Robin's being very yellow. So that's a whole other workshop. But, coming back to that. So the reason you're doing that, what you're looking for is you want to focus your problem solving attempts on the most changeable cause. So that's why you're going through this exercise to see what can you really affect a change on. Yes, nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Crickets?
Yeah.
We're looking at whether you do it by pie chart or you just go, okay, that's really the issue. You understand what I'm saying? So whatever way works for you, what you're really looking at is what is really going on and what can I really affect? What can I really affect and make a difference with? And then step three is identifying the style. Me, is it my fault? Is it their fault? And being careful not to get stuck in that, right? And that you're not really looking at the issues. And then it goes into really an in-depth set of exercises here on to look at totally due to me, totally due to the other person, always be present, never be present, influences everything in my life, influences just this one situation. So what you do is, and literally there's a scale here where you're looking at the beliefs, and you're on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being that totally due to me, and the 7 being totally due to other person or circumstances, and then will always be present is a 1, and 7 will never be be present, so that's a matter of, circumstances, right? Influences everything in my life, 1. Influences just the situation, 7. So, you can really get into the number of it. I mean, would you do that?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, especially if I was in some kind of a workshop or I was doing it with, like, if you and I were together and doing that together, I would do that.
Okay.
I don't know if I necessarily would do it just for myself, but
okay.
I mean, if it was an agreed way of being able to compare it for each other, I think I would.
Because, you know, looking at here on page 157, they really break it down. So then you really take it to, you look at the particular belief, and then you really look at me, not me, always, not always, everything, not everything. And just and the whole bottom line, like you said just a few minutes ago, it's really looking at, you know, what is really my part here? What can I do? And in here, we're looking at this really much from a positive psychology perspective. And one thing they talked about, the difference between resilience and helplessness is really your style. That pessimists, those people who explain their adversities with me, always, everything style, tended to be more helpless and depressed. And optimists,
mm-hmm.
or those who are, you know, with a not me, not always, not everything style, are more often resilient and depressed, free. And I did a lot of research. I had written an article on for nurses working with terminally ill patients, and we called the article How to Build Your Hope Skills. And in doing that research, looking at people who are optimistic, hopeful, happy, which I think are this, you know, they're all the sisters to each other, that people that came from that optimistic, happy perspective were, and I love this, you know, were more successful in all counts. But the thing that really was a big catalyst for me in the rest of my life so far was that they were depressed less often and for shorter periods of time.
Yay.
And that was really, yay. So that meant, you know what, when things are crappy, they're crappy, and I can just name that, but I'm still going to come from an optimistic perspective while still owning stuff when it's not fun.
There you go. Well, see, that goes straight into this other, on the next page, it talks about flexibility and accuracy. And
mm-hmm.
ultimately, when it comes to being resilient, that's really what we're talking about, being able to know the different dynamics and components that would be. I think this is helpful, too, when it comes to being in relationship with other people, you know, whether they be coworkers or somebody more, a significant other. Because if you can see the way that somebody, you know, works with their beliefs, looks with the awarenesses of what they say or don't say, it can really help you to be able to have that wider perspective and be able to be flexible and get real accurate about, okay, this is what's really going on with it. One of the things that it talked about was, you know, when Amy talking about being a pessimist versus an optimist is, you know, pessimism is, again, a liability, you know, there and with, like, they talk about, you know, being a life insurance salesman who significantly makes fewer sales, has a higher rate of drops out at a higher rate, things like that, have lower grades in school and college and things like that, while an optimist is, they're athletic and bounce back, perform better at after defeat and with their, compared to their teammates, things that they do. One of the things about, you know, we talked about this last week too, is that optimism can also be a liability. You know, when you're working with a colleague and then you have, like, extreme optimists, they actually can be worse because of the way that they, you know, you have realistic optimism and then you have, you know, the accurate optimism of being able to look at something and have it being accurate. There's a really great story of this man named Len that had gone to one of their workshops, and, you know, they talked about these basic ideas and things like that, and they looked out in the crowd and he was just really engaged and listening, and when he got all done, you know, they noticed that he was kind of turned away and he was kind of crying. While they were presenting all this information, you know, and he came up after everybody left and shared that for the last 10 years he had multiple sclerosis, and, you know, he was one of these guys that was successful and just always looked for the solution on things. So there's a solution here. I know there is when it comes to business and being able to be successful. And with his illness, he just wasn't finding anything. He went all over the world and spent all kinds of money with doctors and realized that, you know, this is bigger than him. And he wished that he could take, you know, bring, you know, get 10 years back of his life, because it really gave him the opportunity to just get humble and get, know that he needed to get accurate about what was really happening.
Mhm. Mhm.
I just thought that was a really great story.
And I think that's why it's really good to have people in your life that you trust. You know, they can help you with that, because you can get lost, I think, in the pessimistic or the optimistic side.
Mhm. Yeah, I think so too.
People that you really trust, and, you know, to help you with that.
Yeah. So when you're getting flexible, you know, they talk a little bit about, you know, there's always this thing with self-help books and stuff about thinking outside the box. And then, you know, Taco Bell talked about thinking outside the bun. You know, everybody's had these different ways of looking at it. And I liked the really how they talked about a thinking style box. You know, what's the way that you've, you know, what's your safeties? You know, what are your go-tos that you have in your box and being able to look at things? And just encouraging yourself to be a little more flexible and be able to get real accurate about where you are and what really is going to be happening with that. So it says, you know, to be creative, to think outside the box, we have to use the different, you know, ways of looking at, you know, with, you know, looking at what's adversity, being able to watch your mind and see what happens, and then being able to see the belief and all that, and looking through the me, the always, and the everything, and just being able to explain things and have it be something that makes sense for where we are and what's happening. I love the quote that General Douglas MacArthur said. It says, "We are not retreating; we're advancing in another direction."
And so you could look at that as being very positive, or you could look at that as being very much in denial.
Yeah, that's true. I looked at that as being very positive.
I'm sure you did.
And I'm going another direction, and I'm going to go get myself a sundae. Okay, it's good.
Exactly. Carry pie. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So you're talking about, yeah, being flexible, really looking at it, and then that really sets you up to look at new solutions. You know, because
right.
if you're still caught up in the old beliefs and you really haven't looked at what's their part, what's my part, what's changeable here, what is it that, you know, makes sense with the life that I want to have, and then you can start looking, okay, what are really some options about what I can do? And, you know, a lot of this is really critical thinking and decision-making skills. So that's something, if you're really interested in what we're doing here, you might want to take a class on critical thinking and decision-making.
Well, you know, they talk about that and being accurate about Sherlock Holmes and how he would come on a scene and he wouldn't automatically assume that the person who was there over the body or whatever was the murderer. He'd start making a list of suspects and being able to look at the clues for what's really going on. And that's really what we're talking about here with this process, is like looking at all the suspects and seeing what's really going on with, you know, my thoughts and my processes and my beliefs, and just to see, you know, what's really being able to have something that I need to be able to look at and change. So I think that's really great that they brought that up and had it that way. So that was good. So the new pie chart, it's a pizza.
All right, I like it.
It's a pizza pie. Yeah, and again, you know, it was, you know, more about inner reflection than something on the outside. I mean, we may have people in our life that, you know, don't see us, don't appreciate us. Like, you know, with this guy's, you know, we're talking about his boss didn't respect his private time. So, you know, part of that was being able to say no and again, being, you know, not being committed to, you know, his private life and making it to where, you know, he made it okay to be able to, you know, take on more jobs when he promised his wife that he would come home. So, you know, part of that whole thing. So the new solutions, which is the seventh step, is, you know, changeability and being able to just have a new a sense of being able to look at everything from your beliefs and having them be in something that can be very comprehensive and accurate to being able to look at that and be resilient. So putting things into perspective.
Do you want to read the quote from Mark Twain?
Yeah, that's a great quote.
Would you like to read?
I've had many. Oh, you gonna read it? Go ahead, Amy.
No, go ahead.
I've had many catastrophes in my life, some of which actually happened. Was that in a book, or did he just say that? Was that one of his characters? That sounds like one of his characters.
That's a good question. I don't know. There you go. That's your homework.
Questions. Find that. Well, I'll just Google it. That shouldn't be that hard. So I love the start of this chapter because it talks about that. You know, you wake up at 3:00 in the morning feeling apprehensive and anxious, and your mind's just going everywhere, and you just can't seem to, you know, stop the brain from being able to look at that. And you know, what's really happening here is the sense of, you know, these catastrophes. And being able to put things into a proper perspective. So, you know, perhaps catastrophes are answers to questions, and being able to look at, you know, where I am and what's going on, and just like with the last chapter, being able to just kind of look at, you know, get it outside of myself so I can go ahead and look at it.
Absolutely. Well, let me talk about here and see on page 169, that last paragraph, that like challenging beliefs, putting in perspective is designed to guide us to more accurate thinking. But while challenging beliefs is applied to our why beliefs and our beliefs about the causes of adversity, putting it in perspective works through our beliefs about the implications of the adversity, what's going to happen in the future now that the adversity is struck. And so an exercise we did in my master's in psychology program is we actually would get together in a group and take turns, and we would take something in our life and take it to the max, just make it as crazy and as insane as we possibly could. And laughter yoga comes to mind because invariably you have to start laughing because, you know, mm-hmm. something really stupid is I forgot to buy cheese. Well, then because mm-hmm. of that, then, you know, we're gonna starve or my spouse will leave me. And just, I mean, just, you know, you just take it as, you know, crazily as you possibly can. Something that happened and just take it, and then you just can't help but laugh about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
And how does catastrophe thinking start? Well, I think it's like when we start feeding, you know, it's that the old story of the, you know, the Native American grandfather who talks to his grandson about, you know, that there's two wolves inside of you, and one is, you know, thoughtful and kind and optimistic, and the other is, you know, mean and pessimistic, and he says, well, which one will survive? And he says, well, the one you feed.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. I love that story.
I do too. And I think, like, you know, it's what you're, how you're choosing to think, and how, and the people that you put in your life, and the media that you choose to read, and, you know, like the, you know, you look at what we do with the Transformation Cafe and the topics we bring on and the people that we bring on. It's always about, you know, challenging our beliefs and looking at things from new perspectives instead of, you know, going down a rabbit hole of pessimism and mm-hmm. And not
or
having
optimism.
A life you want to live. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, or optimism. Yeah, yeah. So there's 5 steps in which I, and like I said before, you know, this is ways of really being able to embrace anxiety and really getting it under control. So it's so much, so important. And I've got loved ones that have, like, really dealt with that in the past, and I'm so thankful for things like this because it's like if you have tools, you know, things mm-hmm. that you can go to, it really can help you to be able to just breathe and look at it. And like Amy said, you know, you could take it to the max for 2 seconds and then you're just back to laughing and looking at it. And it's like, okay, let me just put this into this proper perspective that we're talking about. So this first step is to write down those thoughts in your head, those different things that are going on. And, you know, in the book it shows this this chart about, you know, step one, you have the worst case belief that you go ahead and write down. And then, you know, step two is how likely would that happen? Mm-hmm. Step three is the best case belief. And then number four is the most likely outcome. And then number five is the solution. So it's a nice condensed, all that's all the steps. So it makes it really, really easy about, you know, worst, how likely, best, how likely would that be? And then what's really realistic? What are we looking at that's accurate? You know, not that we can necessarily have that be 100% of the time, but it's definitely helping you to put it all into a really great perspective. So we've got a couple minutes here left, Ellen.
Well, I'm excited about where we're stepping into next, and I think it's good now that we've got all these great tools, and the trick is, of course, you've got to be practicing them. Just knowing the skills don't help. So that'll be, you know, they want to support you in doing that. And then Chapter 9, I'm very excited about, because we have the nuts and bolts now. And then Chapter 9 moves into the fast skills, calming and focusing, and real-time resilience. So,
yeah, I love that. Real-time resilience,
so that's
awesome.
We'll be able to start doing, what are some things that we really can do? And, you know, we do a little bit of practice, you know, next week on doing that. But there's a lot of really great tools here. I haven't read through it yet, but I'm kind of been glancing through. and a lot of work they do with the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology. If you go to energypsych.org/resilience, there's tons of exercises and there's videos that will help you with lots of great tools real time. And I think that's the trick. I love the real-time resilience. You need those tools right there, you know, for yourself, and you need to be doing them, and you need to have other people in your life. Like a good friend of mine that has a project that's due on Friday, and what she's asked me to do is to text her every day and just tell her it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And do
going
the best
great.
You can.
Exactly.
You're doing great.
Exactly.
Instead of
yeah.
that voice in her head, you won't make it, you won't make it. You know, instead of having the other voice.
That was easy.
You know.
Yeah, have one on your desk and you can keep reminding yourself all day.
Right. Oh, Wendy, so you can go either way.
Exactly, exactly. You know, off with your head of anybody who wants to be negative with me. Being there, you can use it for that. So that's all good.
Well,
so we look forward to next week.
Making it easy, making it fun.
Exactly. So we look forward to next week with the resilience, yay, and being able to really move into just a lot of different exercises and options for people. And like I said, it's the tools that can really help you to be moving into just have those, you know, proper beliefs and that proper perspective that can be accurate and being resilient. That's what we're really talking about.
Yay. All right, good
yay.
Work. We get to have some fun next week, so that's good.
Okay, I look forward to that and put that pie chart away. Whew, that's good.
Well, no, let's go cherry pie now. I promise to be cherry pie.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, and thank our audience, as always, and we have our regular cafe, tuning people. So if you guys have any questions, comments, go ahead and let me know, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.